This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Future Farm Botanicals Liquid Wild Oil of Oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's Wild Oil of Oregano supports a variety of healthy benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate Wild Oil of Oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's an opportunity to learn more about the microbiome with health expert and master educator, one of my favorite guests. He is a perennial visitor here on Intelligent Medicine, Dr. Ross Pelton. He's a registered pharmacist and a certified clinical nutritionist and scientific director for Essential Formulas, Inc., makers of Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. And he was named one of the top 50 most influential pharmacists in the United States by American Druggist magazine for his work in natural medicine. He is one of America's preeminent integrative pharmacists. He brings it all together in his understanding of conventional medicine as well as natural therapies. And lately, he's been fascinated by the microbiome. The theme of today's program is, are your postbiotics falling short? And why it's important for your probiotics to contain postbiotics. Okay, we coined a new term here, postbiotics. I think you can claim credit to developing that concept. So what are we talking about when we refer to postbiotics?
Well, first, Dr. Ron, I want to thank you for having me on the program. I always enjoy speaking with you, and you've been a true health warrior out there on the front lines for a long time, educating people about these important health topics in natural medicine. So appreciate you a lot and all the work you do.
Thank you.
And you bet. So today we want to talk about not only probiotics, but also this new term, a term that's new for a lot of people, postbiotics or postbiotic metabolites. And for a long time, we've known that we get benefits from probiotics, but we haven't understood the mechanism of action. How do these probiotic bacteria provide health benefits to us? And in the last decade or so, we've started to unravel that puzzle. And what we're finding is that when the probiotic bacteria ferment fibers in the colon, they produce secondary compounds that are called postbiotic metabolites. And what we're really learning is that these compounds that the probiotic bacteria produce, these postbiotic metabolites, are master health-regulating compounds that influence every single organ system in the body, including the brain and the immune system. So it's not the bacteria that are so important, it's the compounds that the bacteria produce, which are these master health-regulating compounds. So that's the quick summary of what postbiotic metabolites are, Dr. Ron, and why they're so important.
So is it possible that people are taking probiotics till the cows come home and yet not garnering their full potential?
Well, that's absolutely right. I've been talking about this in a lot of my presentations over the last year or two. People need to understand that fiber, which is really non-digestible. We do not digest the fibers. They go straight through our gastrointestinal tract without being digested. But when they arrive in the colon, these undigestible fibers are the food for your probiotic bacteria. And so people need to understand how to feed their probiotic bacteria well. Otherwise, they won't thrive and survive, and you won't get health benefits from them. And so the real understanding for probiotics is the importance that it's a two-step process or two pieces of the puzzle. It's probiotic bacteria and fiber. And it's not just the quantity of fiber, it's a diversity of fiber, because you've got hundreds of different species of bacteria in your gastrointestinal tract, but they require different types of fiber in order to produce different types of postbiotic metabolites. And there's a wide range of benefits from these postbiotic metabolites. Some of them are anti-inflammatory compounds. Some of them are natural antibiotics that suppress pathogens or directly kill pathogens in the gut. Some of them directly communicate with the brain and are supportive of the immune system. A lot of them are slightly acidic compounds that rebalance the acid-base level and create the optimal acidity in the GI tract to promote the growth of your probiotic bacteria and suppress the growth of pathogens. So we find things like short-chain fatty acids and organic acids and fulvic acids and nucleic acids, and all of these are categories of postbiotic metabolites that keep the intestinal tract at the optimal level of acidity that suppresses the growth of pathogens and promotes the growth of your good bacteria. So this is a critical part of your immune system. And so this is just a little chapter in this large story of postbiotic metabolites, but they really are playing a bigger role in health and wellness. And we need to understand how important our bacteria are and how to feed them well so you get maximum benefit from these postbiotic metabolites.
Are there aspects to modern life and modern diets and perhaps modern lifestyle that interfere with the development of these postbiotics, that maybe suppress the growth of beneficial bacteria, encourage the growth of harmful bacteria, or mess up our internal signaling?
You bet, Dr. Ron, you've hit the nail on the head. That's why we call chronic degenerative diseases lifestyle diseases. And there's many things that happen in both the environment and in our lifestyles that will really interfere with our probiotics and our microbiome and prevent or inhibit the ability of these postbiotic metabolites to get produced. So things like processed carbohydrates, high fat diets, high sugar diets, environmental toxins, and especially agricultural pesticides and insecticides, all sorts of air pollution and water pollution and smokings and many of the medications that people take, especially things like Tylenol and antibiotics, of course, we know really upsets the microbiome. So there's dozens and dozens, maybe hundreds of things that are really interfering with the bacteria in your gastrointestinal tract and the environment in the gastrointestinal tract, which inhibits your body's ability to grow a diversity of probiotic bacteria so that they can produce a diversity of these postbiotic metabolites.
And there's some real surprises here, you know, as we continue to do research about the microbiome, because the pervasiveness of its influence on many systems that we didn't even suspect were involved is growing apace, almost with weekly revelations. You know, we tend to think of the gut as, well, you know, I've got gas, bloating, indigestion, diarrhea, or constipation. Okay, that's the extent of the influence of the microbiome, but it extends way beyond the GI tract, right?
You're absolutely right. We call these other conditions extra intestinal, meaning outside the intestine. And we're finding out that dysbiosis and a disturbed microbiome now is connected to heart disease and diabetes and ADD and ADHD and autism and cancers, various types of cancer. So all of these serious diseases are connected to the gut and the microbiome and these postbiotic metabolites, and not having enough of the right ones to regulate not just your gut, but your immune system throughout your whole body.
And lately, you know, a pretty profound influence on neurodegenerative diseases, conditions
absolutely.
Like Parkinson's disease. I mean, there's a lot of literature on that now, right?
You're absolutely right, yeah. And these days, you know, we've got a global viral pandemic going on. And so people need to learn how they can support their own immune system to help protect themselves.
Yeah, I saw an article recently, and again, it's a... correlation is not necessarily causation, but what they found is that in countries where they consume a lot of live fermented foods. You know, I'm not talking about, pasteurized pickles made with preservatives, but, yeah. Where there's actual live, viable organisms, kimchi, sauerkraut, yogurt, kefir, things like that, that are naturally made, that there is a lower susceptibility to the serious consequences of COVID-19. Now, again, this is speculative. We have to do a double-blind, placebo-controlled trial prospective going forward, comparing people consuming these things versus people not consuming these things. So we're not going to say that probiotics cure COVID-19. But it's an intriguing correlation, isn't it?
Well, it's an intriguing correlation. And what I like to emphasize about this topic, Dr. Ron, is that these fermented foods like kimchi and sauerkraut and so forth, they don't just contain probiotic bacteria. They contain postbiotic metabolites. Mm. The whole process of food fermentation, people have done food fermentation for centuries as a way to preserve food. And the way the preservation process works is that during food preservation, bacteria digest and break down, ferment some of the fibers in the food to produce these slightly acidic postbiotic metabolites that suppress the growth of pathogens. So that's how the whole process of fermented food works in order to preserve the food and prevent the growth of pathogens.
I'm intrigued also by the connection between the microbiome and metabolism, in particular insulin metabolism and metabolic syndrome. There's a lot of research now. And of course, it'd be great if we could come up with some type of anti-obesity probiotic. You guys are working on it, right?
The
probiotic that makes the pounds melt off effortlessly.
Yeah. We have probiotics that help promote health, but we can't claim any disease treatment for them. So, but just using them as a basic foundation for good health ties into all of these situations, metabolic syndrome and diabetes, as well as cancers and ADD and ADHD, these neurological diseases, autism, Parkinson's disease. There's studies on all of these conditions related to the microbiome.
Yeah, and certain organisms are identified with a healthy balance in the intestinal tract. But so far, it's not been really feasible to bring them to market, as single species, very targeted things like this is good for, shall we say, Parkinson's prevention, hypothetically, or this is the weight loss probiotic, because it seems like different strokes for different folks. People react differently, right?
Yep, you bet. And we may get there someday or closer to there where we can recommend specific strains of bacteria for specific health conditions. But as you say, different strokes for different folks. Everybody is very individual. So one strain of bacteria that might be very helpful, for example, for weight loss in one individual might not be effective in another person who's obese. So it's a fairly complex thing. And we have the term biochemical individuality. We're so uniquely different. You have to find your own fingerprint, so forth. And like we talk about people having their own microbiome or their own probiotic fingerprint, your innate strains of bacteria that are more suited for your system. But there's a lot of research now that is telling us that a more diverse microbiome is a healthier microbiome. And throughout all of nature, all ecosystems are more stable and more resilient if they have a diversity in the ecosystem. So we look at the Amazon rainforest and coral reefs in the ocean, and any ecosystem you look at, greater diversity means that the ecosystem is more balanced and more stable and more resilient when it is challenged. And it's the same with your gut microbiome. Greater diversity means a healthier individual. And they've looked at indigenous cultures like the Yanomami Indians in the Amazon and the Hadza hunter-gatherers in eastern Africa. And these people eat basically plant-based diets, and they haven't been exposed to antibiotics and cesarean births and processed foods and so forth. And they have a microbiome that is twice as diverse as most Americans. And in addition to that, they consume 5 to 10 times more fiber on a daily basis than most Americans.
Mm-hmm. And the diseases that they have, I mean, things that afflict Westerners, diverticulitis and colon cancer, and certain degenerative cardiovascular diseases, diabetes, virtually unheard of. Now, it may be.
They've never heard of them.
Exactly. So, you know, what you're saying is kind of interesting because from, you know, let's use the analogy of creating a financial portfolio. You know, they always say diversify your portfolio because I would say, you know, right now it's probably a pretty good idea to buy, you know, tech stocks or, you know, buy, like I'm all in for Apple. 100% of my, all my retirement money, my 401k is in Apple. Sounds good because it's been doing pretty well. But as a long-term strategy, that's not a very resilient strategy. Or, you know, turning over your 401k into gold. You know, okay, that might work for a couple of financial cycles, but long-term not. So that's one of the reasons why I really prefer to recommend as a general probiotic supplement, Dr. Hira's probiotic. And, you know, tell us about what it consists of.
Sure. That's really Dr. O'Hara's probiotics is unique and different from every other probiotic in the world. And so we really like to explain why Dr. O'Hara's is so unique. To begin with, it's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics is produced in a multi-year fermentation production process. They have large 80-gallon fermentation vats in a sterile warehouse. And they start the process out with dozens of different types of organically grown food. They shred these foods and put them in the fermentation vats along with 12 starter strains of probiotic bacteria. And then the bacteria get to ferment these foods in the fermentation vats for 3 to 5 years. And during this fermentation process, the bacteria are breaking down the fibers in the food and producing these postbiotic metabolites. So that by the end of the fermentation process, when they encapsulate the final product, Dr. O'Hara's doesn't just contain probiotic bacteria, it also contains some of the non-digestible fibers, which are the prebiotics. But most importantly, at the end of the multi-year fermentation process, Dr. O'Hara's contains over 500 different postbiotic metabolites. Mm. So this is really what we call the Dr. O'Hara's advantage or the Dr. O'Hara's difference, because Dr. O'Hara's probiotics is really a fermented food probiotic, and it's the number one product in the world for directly delivering postbiotic metabolites. And if people have digestive problems and gas and bloating, diarrhea, constipation, pain and inflammation in the GI tract, you get much faster results by directly ingesting these postbiotic metabolites. And I have a couple of slides that I've made for my presentations where I compare a regular commercial probiotic compared to Dr. Hira's delivering 500 postbiotic metabolites. In a regular commercial probiotic, the bacteria have to first survive the transit through the harsh acid environment in the stomach. And if they survive, then when they arrive in the intestinal tract, they have to locate fibers and then start the process of converting these fibers into postbiotic metabolites. And we also know that a lot of people are not consuming a lot of fibers. And when you're sick and not feeling well, you're less likely to be eating a good healthy diet with a range of different types of fiber-containing foods. And so this production of postbiotic metabolites by the commercial probiotic bacteria, this all takes time. When people take Dr. O'Hara's, you're directly delivering the postbiotic metabolites to the intestinal system, and they immediately start to create positive changes with anti-inflammatory activity, killing pathogens, reconnecting the gut-brain communication system, and enhancing the immune system. So there's lots of changes that happen quickly when people take Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. And so that's really what differentiates Dr. O'Hara's from every other probiotic product on the marketplace.
So how does it compare to, say, you know, something like Lactobacillus GG or Lactobacillus rhamnosus, you know, where they guarantee that it's what, you know, 5 billion or 10 billion or, you know, just, you know, whatever the national debt is in terms of the number of colony forming units?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, because the strains that you mentioned are definitely good strains of bacteria. But two of the most important things for a healthy microbiome are balance and diversity. And so many people think that more is better. So people will say, mine's got 30 billion, mm-hmm. mine's got 50 billion, mine's got 100
billion.
It's
like a body billion. Count, yeah.
Right. Exactly. So when you take massive doses of just one or a couple of strains of bacteria, even if they're good strains of probiotic bacteria, you're working against balance and diversity. So rather than just one or two strains that have, they can have good studies that show they have benefits, it's better to take a multi-strain probiotic and not so much concerned about the big high numbers of what they call the, what's the term here, the CFU, the colony forming units. Which really means just the number of viable bacteria per dose. You don't want to go for massive doses. You want to have as many different strains as possible. But what's more important with Dr. O'Hare is you get these postbiotic metabolites. So it's not so much the bacteria that we're concerned about. If you can directly deliver these postbiotic metabolites, you will get much faster action and faster improvement in resolution of these dysbiosis-like symptoms. And in fact, there's a lot of drug companies now that are recognizing the importance of these postbiotic metabolites, and they're starting to think about creating drugs based on mm-hmm. these postbiotic metabolites because they're natural compounds, and there will be a far shorter research and development process and far fewer side effects to worry about. The pharmaceutical industry is really starting to get interested in postbiotic metabolites also.
But what they're going to do is they're going to like isolate something, synthesize it perhaps, concentrate it, and then, you know,
give you a big dose of it
and give you a big dose of it and, you know, basic patent the IP, the intellectual property around the research on that, and then make it available as a therapeutic agent or a drug that's you know, probably FDA approved. In the meantime, nature has provided these things in abundance in fermented foods. You know, this is, you know, consider this sort of like the Rolls Royce of fermented foods in terms of, you know, the care and the manner in which it's cultivated and prepared.
You bet. And one thing I like to stress is I'm the big champion of natural therapies. And what Dr. O'Hara, in his visionary wisdom, created is a method of producing a fermented food probiotic that mimics nature. In nature, in our own human gastrointestinal tract, you swallow foods that contain fiber, and the bacteria in your system ferment those fibers and produce the postbiotic metabolites. Dr. O'Hara just created an external system to do this fermentation exactly the way nature does it, and then directly deliver the postbiotic metabolite to you in the encapsulated Dr. O'Hara's probiotics.
Okay, we need to pause, but before we pause, let's give information about the product, where you can find information. It's at www.essentialformulas.com. That's the place where you can find out about Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Spelled, it's always challenging for me, I always get it wrong. It's O-H-H-I-R-A, Dr. O'Hara's apostrophe S probiotics. All right. When we return, more in our discussion with today's guest, Dr. Ross Pelton. He's an expert on the microbiome, the relationship between things that inhabit our gastrointestinal tract and overall health. And we'll be back with more on today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.